Hi, my name is Nia Akins. I ran collegiately at the University of Pennsylvania. I am a middle distance runner, especially, and running to me has been an opportunity to meet new people, travel new places, and just have fun in the sport.
Pop in with an update that since we recorded this episode at the end of May, Nia signed on to run for Brooks and is officially a beast. Not that she wasn't already, but now it's just her job title. In this episode, we talk about geeking out over pro runners, and I know I sure am starstruck over her, and pretty soon, I think the rest of the world will join me in that if they haven't already. Especially after discussing how Nia thrives at the big meets and loves to travel, I'm just really excited to continue following her career as she embarks on this new chapter. So yeah, huge congrats to Nia, and also thanks for being on one of my favorite episodes of the pod. Also, since recording, the country has even more so entered a historical moment for the Black Lives Matter movement. And while that was not discussed in this recording, I want to highlight that in the episode description, you will find media where Nia discusses her experiences as a Black athlete and additional educational resources, as well as a fundraising campaign that I'm doing for the National Queer and Trans Therapists of Color Network's Mental Health Fund. So pause this episode, open up some of those links and check them out, then resume listening to the one and only Nia Akins. Now, let's lace up. All right. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Triple Knot, a podcast for collegiate runners to share their stories, celebrate their accomplishments, and open up conversation around the challenges we may face as young athletes. I'm your host, Haley, and today I am joined by the legendary Nia Akins.
Oh, thanks.
In 2019, Nia posted runner-up finishes in both the indoor and outdoor 800 at the D1 National Championships. This past season, she ran 2 minutes flat, 0.71 seconds, just 0.02 of a second off of the collegiate national record in the 800. I'd like to add that I was at that meet, but I the race.
Oh, no.
It was like one of those stupid moments where you're at like a 24-hour long meet or something ridiculous like that, and you have to go to the bathroom and you try to time everything perfectly so that you don't miss the like four really exciting moments of the meet, and then you
come
and your teammates are like, "You just missed this girl so fast." I was like, "Oh crap, dang it."
That was such a spectacular meet though. There were so many performances across the board. You definitely caught some really good ones.
For sure. For sure. I don't know. Just slipped through my fingers on that one. And between indoor and outdoor track, she has been a 3-time HEPS most outstanding athlete, 9-time HEPS champion. She's been a all mid-Atlantic region runner in cross country and a 3-time all academic runner. There's a lot more to her story than just that. That's my introduction of who Nia Akins is. So what is your introduction of yourself? Who are you?
Hey, Haley. Well, I am a runner, full disclosure. I'm a middle distance runner. I'm a true middle distance runner. I kind of don't really associate myself with cross country that much, but it's nice that you did. So I do it. And at Penn, I majored in nursing and nutritional sciences. So I'm somewhere right now between a nursing student and nurse because I just graduated, but I'm focusing on taking my boards. Kind of a crazy time to be a nurse, but I'm honestly a crazy time to be anything right now, but I'm pretty excited. So we'll see.
Yeah. Kudos to that. Like if you run cross country, you deserve the credit for it.
That's true, honestly.
So yeah, congrats on graduating. And as you said,
thank you.
Kind of a weird transitional period right now, no matter what's going on, but especially as college graduates. So what has been going on for you since, and what has currently been on your mind and in your heart?
Yeah, I mean, initially just kind of how affected everybody is by what's going on right now and how different facets of people their identities, whatnot, are also affected and challenged by this time. Like, I know me personally, like, as an athlete, can't really do that. As a nurse, as well as a nursing student, kind of got torn from the practice in the immediate moment just because of the safety issues, obviously, and stuff like that. And then as an African-American female right now, kind of dealing with all of that as well. And like, that's just me, like everybody's dealing with something. So just kind of like trying to think outside of the box and kind of feel for everyone right now, because we're all kind of struggling through this together. But also to just be insanely proud of myself and classes of 2020 everywhere, because we graduated and that's a huge thing. It's a huge accomplishment that really shouldn't go unrecognized. So I think just kind of seeing both sides of the coin right now and dealing with all of those emotions and taking them all in, because I'll appreciate it later.
Yeah, for sure. That healthy balance of allowing yourself to feel the hurt, but also celebrate what you've accomplished.
Yeah.
It's definitely been such a challenging time, and it is a really heavy period, as we were talking about. So what are some of your earliest memories of yourself as a runner that have stuck with you today?
Yeah. I actually started out playing soccer. And I played soccer pretty much my whole life until high school-ish was kind of when I made the switch over to running. So I think I just remember out kicking people to the ball on the soccer field, and just the little thrill of racing people to the ball and like beating them out every time. And I think that should have been my first sign that maybe running was probably more so my sport than soccer. Even dribbling, I wouldn't actually dribble. I would just kick the ball out really far and then outrun people to it. So those are my earliest running memories.
Yeah, you can get to, then you don't know what to do once you get there.
Yeah, then I don't know what to do when I get there. So I definitely found the right sport for me.
That's awesome. Did you have any role models or figures in your life that led you into running?
My mom was actually a runner in college. She ran for the University of Missouri. She was a 400 meter runner. She's actually a really good 400 meter runner. I think I have yet to honestly get anywhere near the times that she ran.
Really?
So I think, honestly, because she did run in college, I was like, maybe I don't want to do that, because she was really good and that's her thing. But I think I've always admired my mom, and eventually I think I was gonna switch over, and I started running with her just recreationally, and then realized I really loved it. So then I just started running in college, and I started with cross country, actually, and really enjoyed it. And everybody was just kind of like, if you love cross country, just wait for track, because you're going to absolutely love track and field, which they were right. Track is fantastic. I love it. Haven't looked back since.
Was there a moment when you did get into running that you started to understand your mom's accomplishments more or appreciate that side of her more?
Yeah, probably the first time I ran the 400. Mm-hmm. As a freshman in high school, I ran the 4x4. And I think I ran a blistering 62 seconds. And I realized my mom ran almost like 10 seconds faster than that. So I was like, wow, you're really good, mom. I think that was when I realized, like, man, if I want to be anywhere near as good as she was, I have some work to do.
Wow. Because, yeah, that's like a very fast time to run, like right out of your first season of track.
Yeah.
The 10 second drop, that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you were looking at schools, what was your first impression of the University of Pennsylvania?
I honestly looked at Penn for the nursing school because I knew I wanted to do nursing. So that was the draw. And then I used one of my official visits to come visit Penn, obviously. And I just fell in love with just the atmosphere and the people. It's just kind of a melting pot of just like different academic and cultural backgrounds that I just really enjoyed. And I also knew coming into college that I wanted to be a part of more groups than just running. I really love nursing. I wanted to be a part of like that cohort and find others. And I knew like Penn was a space where I could do that. So that kind of is what sold it for me.
Where would you say that running track was on your list of priorities when you were looking at schools?
It was pretty, I don't think I chose a school thinking I wanted to run professionally someday. I think I picked a school for not the program, but for the people in it. Mm-hmm. And the Ivy League has a very unique culture. Everybody runs because they love it. There's nobody there on scholarship, which, you know, there's pros and cons to, but I think it really does bring a culture of people that just love what they do. And indoor heps is my favorite meet. I think everybody knows that, but it's just because the atmosphere is so electric and just so raw. Like, everybody there is just there to support each other, there to support the sport. There's no animosity. It's just pure competitive fun. And I'm just so appreciative of the experiences that I had. Heps ended up being my last meet. So, like, I'm glad that it was, because it's my favorite one. So, yeah.
Yeah, because that's hard to finish your college running career and have not known at the time that that was going to be your last race.
Yeah.
What are the memories from that last meet that you have?
Honestly, the girls team won and the guys team came in second, and we had to fight for those for those titles. So, like, I just think, you know, we always knew, like, that things like that don't come easy, but I think at that particular meet, because it was a flat track, you know, it just, again, just kind of expels all of the, like, you're running for time. It really focuses on the competitive aspect of running for place with just track events. And there were pieces that didn't come together. There were pieces that did. So it was just kind of like, at the end, it kind of worked out. I ran the mile and the 1,000 and then a relay. And whew, I got tired towards the end. The relay really got to me, but it was fun. And I think I just appreciate the energy that my teammates brought to every single event. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, we did it, we pulled it off, and we couldn't have done it if not everybody just decided to come to the table, you know, so.
That's awesome. That's a really great memory.
Yeah.
That's so crazy to me that you're one of the fastest NCAA runners in history, but you don't have a scholarship. Like, that is a pretty wild thing to think about. So, yeah. Like, back up to your first year in college, you're walking onto campus about, like, first major team meeting or discussion with your coach, whatnot. What were some of your goals coming into that athletic year that you were looking at, and what were some accomplishments that you had from high school that were sort of, like, leading you up to those goals?
Yeah, I just wanted to improve. I wanted to see how fast I could go just from the beginning. I kind of knew that I ran a 208 in high school, and I felt like I ran that at state, which was, like, the biggest meet. And I feel like even in college, like, I've obviously performed the best at the biggest meets, which makes sense. But I think just the amount of opportunities that I've had in high school, they look very different than the amount of opportunities that you have in college, just because the level of competition is just a lot higher. So I was looking forward to that, potentially running faster. But I was also looking forward to traveling more than anything. And I think that also adds a different level of competition to racing too. Like, I think when I travel with my team, it feels more of an excursion and, like, more of an adventure, which I really enjoy. And I do feel like that shows in my performance too, because I have more fun with it. And yeah, and it shows.
And you grew up in California, is that right?
Yeah, I'm from San Diego, California. I went to Rancho Bernardo High School. Go Broncos. We actually did pretty well in those days too, so it was fun. I ran pretty much anything from the 4x1 to cross country. And it was an absolute blast. I do miss running that many events, but, like, it makes sense in college that we narrowed that down.
Yeah, for sure. That's just, like, a pretty wide range you could
say. Yeah, I think that's as wide as you can go. No hurdles, though. We took hurdles out of it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I was born in San Diego. I grew up
Really? Nice. What part?
La Jolla.
Oh, it's such a beautiful area. That's my favorite beach, full disclosure.
Yeah, my mom's getting right. No, she's, like, always talking about moving back there now, especially since I've graduated. But
yeah,
sometimes I think of, like, an alternative parallel life in my head of what would have happened if I'd grown up out there, because I feel like it's a very different life from the East Coast. Like, what did you experience culture-wise, West Coast versus East Coast?
It definitely is a different culture for sure, especially at Penn, just because there's so many different people, and Penn is a very, like, they bring in a lot of international students too, so not even just within the States, which is, like, amazing, and I think it's made me dream bigger. Like, I want to run, and I also want to, like, travel for running. Like, I want to go to different places and everything too. And I think in San Diego, it was so easy for me to just kind of get comfortable where I was. Like, the weather is really nice, the people are cool. Like, I think that was the big difference, was I kind of saw the world in its entirety on the East Coast versus the West Coast. But I think, you know, that also, I think, happens when you transition from high school to college naturally anyway.
Yeah, for sure. So what was a turning point for you as a runner when you, I mean, maybe there wasn't like a necessary breakout moment, but was there a point where you went from, I just want to improve, to, whoa, I could be one of the best people in the country at this?
Yeah, I think honestly, I might be in the middle of that turning point right now. I think maybe this pandemic kind of put that on pause. I felt that, honestly, I did feel that at Indoor Nationals last year, just coming in second was kind of the first time that I ever did really well at a race of that caliber. And to just kind of, I'm thankful that I was able to be consistent and kind of hold that through the rest of the year. And then obviously to come back this year, I think Boston was another big moment for me. Boston was significant because I don't think, obviously Boston is an amazing track and a great facility, and that contributed to the performance that I had, but I don't think I was really in the top shape at that moment in time. So I think I was really looking forward to Indoor Nationals and later on in the season, because I could kind of feel myself in practice, like, rounding out and getting into better shape. And I'm kind of sad I didn't really get to put that out there, but I know that it's there. So it helps me kind of train through the season that we're in now and look forward to the next one, whatever that is. So
definitely pains me a little bit to think for you, like, what could have been if things weren't canceled. But, you know, if your time isn't now, the opportunity is on the horizon.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary to think about what could have been at this point. I think, honestly, I'm just going to keep looking at the future. Like, those opportunities will come, and hope that they're bigger and better than the opportunities that would have been.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So, let's see. So you've said that you perform your best at some of the biggest meets. Can you talk about, like, how you make that happen, or, like, what your mindset is?
Yeah, it's all mindset, let me tell you. I think last year at Indoor Nationals, standing on the line, I remember thinking how crazy it was that I was thinking, let's do this, like, let's go. Like, I'm literally standing on the line with the best in the country. Nothing can go wrong as long as I'm sticking with them and staying true to myself as an athlete, running a race that's smart and protective of what I'm capable of doing. And I knew I was in good shape. I knew I was able to hang with them. So I think that kind of contributed to the performance that I had. It's the confidence of knowing that you're on the line with people that you can compete with. I think that is a huge part of doing anything successfully in running.
Does your training play into that as well? Like, what sort of workouts do you do that build your confidence or really give you a sense of where your fitness is at?
Yeah, I think for me, honestly, workouts play a huge part, but I think racing does plays a bigger role than that. I think I ran, obviously cross country plays a huge role in the confidence that I have, just because it's very different for me. And I know that if I'm in that good of shape, that I can come back and run twice at a high level. And then coming into the season, just, you know, Ivy League helped with that, running the 1,000, or like earlier in the season, running the mile. Like, those are events where I'm stretching myself. And if I'm improving on that end, and then if I'm running relays and improving on that end, you know, it kind of comes together in the middle. So that's kind of where I see my fitness kind of come into shape, is with racing. But I'm learning now through this that, you know, training does the same thing. I just think racing is obviously more tangible, but I even feel myself rounding out into shape now in the absence of racing too. So it's kind of, it really is all mindset.
So when you're for cross country, what is the focus? Are you focused on the cross country season, or is it more to prepare you, as you said, to later get in shape for the 800?
Yeah, I'm focused on the team. I'm just running for the team, honestly. I want us to have a good HEPS. I want us to be competitive at HEPS, but I am also running protective of, you know, having a really great track season too. So that might look like not, you know, I don't think my mileage is too crazy during cross, or maybe like starting a little bit later, sitting some races out, but gearing up for the big ones, whatever it takes to make sure that we're doing well at HEPS. But yeah.
What type of mileage do you do?
I'd say 40 miles is my sweet spot. 40 miles a week. I enjoy that. I like fluctuate depending on the season and depending on what I'm gearing up for. But I would say that's kind of the preferred weekly mileage.
So what are some moments that you've had where you've felt either like unsatisfied in your performance, or felt like you see like a gap in some part of your life that has then led you to excel more as a runner?
I think a lot of the times when I've made it to the next level or qualified for bigger meets, like I can think of Brooks PR, high school state meet, USA Outdoors last year, I actually came in last for like pretty much all of those, like the final or like that race, just because it's a whole new experience and it just didn't come together, whether it was training, just mentality, whatnot. It just takes some warming up to get there for me. And I think I'm growing more confident over time in everything. And I think it's important for me to kind of look back at those opportunities and think like, I really towed the line with great people. Like they weren't just anybody that I towed the line with. So I need to be respectful of the competition. But also be like, you know, not get complacent and know that like, you know, I can improve and I can grow from here. So, yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about the race at USA's? Was that like one of your first big tastes of what pro level type of competition might be like?
I want to say yes. I don't know that honestly, I don't really think I've competed with professionals at a meet of that caliber with that many before. And having three rounds of the 800 was definitely new to me. Something that I was definitely was in the back of my mind this year. Like I need to be ready for a third. And it was so much fun. I remember having fun, both prelims, even the finals. I think after the finals, I was kind of kicking myself for sure. Cause I was thinking, you know, like, if I want to do this in the future, I need to be ready for this. Like I need to be ready to have a third day and to do well on the third day. But I also was kind of thinking, man, if this is my first experience and I was able to sneak through this far, like the sky's the limit. And I think that's the mindset that I want to continue to approach in the future. Like even when I'm not a rookie, to kind of feel like, you know, like I'm still growing. We'll see. Yeah.
Neat. That sounds like such a neat experience. Are you someone that, like, if I was in that situation, like I would totally geek out like over all the people that were around me? Do you follow running closely? Like, do you have idols? Like, what's that experience?
Yes. It's so it's probably unhealthy. So even on the line, I was looking around, I was like, these people are insane and also just beautiful, and it's just not fair. But it's fine. I actually like to warm up in discrete spaces because it helps me focus more, which I actually started doing for meets like nationals too, even before USA's, which really came in handy for USA's because the warm up space, not even within my own event group, but other events too. Like I was looking around and I was like, I watch these people on TV. I can't believe I'm here. So I think kind of stepping away from that space and reminding myself of who I am and like what I came to do also, and that, you know, like I have the same opportunity that they have, is so important. But I am also very appreciative of the fact that, yeah, I was around my track heroes and it was really cool.
saying that it might be unhealthy. Like, I have a running podcast. I totally get it.
I've come to the right person.
Is there any one person that if you had the opportunity to go on a run with them or like sit down over lunch that you would just be totally inspired by?
I've like, it's like mean to pick just one, but
fair.
I would have to say immediately Raven. Yeah, she just is just a great, I feel like she just has jewels of wisdom. Just so many jewels. But there's too many. But yeah, I'm going to start there.
Awesome. Did you get to talk to any of these people when you were at that meet or other meets?
Yeah, they like are all very respectful people. They've all said good job, you know, like keep up the good work and stuff like that, which I feel like is pretty traditional. A lot of people say that, but I think coming from them, it just means more and you like remember it more, which is really nice. But honestly, I can't think of a single person that didn't just kind of like acknowledge that I was there, which was really nice, whether they knew me or not. And that just speaks to the sport that we're in. Like everybody is just very like appreciative of the competition and just acknowledges we're all putting in work, you know, so it's cool.
Yeah, runners are the best people.
Runners are the best people. Don't at me.
So this sounds like possibly one of them, but what has been your most surreal racing experience?
Yeah, US Ace was definitely one of them. And Boston was another. Boston was very similar to the USA's just because I did toe the line with, I think I was the only collegian in that race. Mm-hmm. And just kind of in the moment, I don't know what I was thinking, but I was thinking I'm doing really well. Like, I really hope I can keep this up. And I think, yeah, I mean, Boston just went by so fast. Honestly, I don't really remember what I was thinking or what I was doing. So I think that was pretty surreal because afterwards, just like looking at the clock, I just couldn't believe it. And same with any Heps meet. just kind of watching not even myself race, but all of my teammates, because I think it all comes together pretty beautifully around Heps time. And I think for me, for some reason, I'm most nervous for Heps out of all of the meets in the year. I just think because with a team title on the line, there's just, I don't know, anything can happen, like no matter who you are. And that's for any meet. But I think for that meet especially, I'd be really kicking myself if things didn't go well. So just kind of watching other people just like absolutely kill it. It's just like, you know what? Okay, it's my turn. Let's go. Put me out there. So love a good Heps meet.
Yeah, I definitely feel like relays. I always am the most like anxious and like pumped up for, because it does feel like there's more at stake, but I also feel like it's easier to rise to that occasion and perform then too. You said that that at the Boston meet you don't even remember like you were thinking during the race. Mm-hmm. Is a race that you remember having lots of thoughts during, and like like how do you control your thinking during races?
It's another surreal experience race that honestly came to my mind a little bit later, but like the DMR at Penn Relays, man, I just think because I was the first leg and it got out pretty conservatively, I just in the back of my mind was thinking, do I make a move, do I not make a move? And that went on for literally maybe 1,000 meters of me just kind of going back and forth with that. Even when I was making a move, I was like, did I do this at the wrong time or did I not do this at the wrong time? Just because, you know, I don't know, as first leg and on a relay, you just matter so much more. And I'm used to running 4x4s, honestly. So I think you don't really have time to think in 4x4s, but for the longer ones you do. But it really worked out great, obviously. And my teammates all crushed it. They all PR'd, and we were able to like take home a wheel, which was really cool.
Wow. The Penn relays were they online this year, or did they try to do some sort of online thing?
Yeah, so they did the Minecraft relays.
Oh my gosh.
Which, honestly, this was during my finals week, so I did not participate in Minecraft. I studied, but I hear that it was a very different but magical experience. So Yeah, can't really speak on it that much, but I know that the people that did participate did have a lot of fun with it. So,
oh my goodness, the people that raced in the original Penn relays, what was it like, 150 years or something like that?
I think this would have been 126.
126.
Yeah.
The people that raced 126 years ago are probably like, what has this sport?
yeah, this is a different time of life for sure.
So you also mentioned that one of your favorite things about running is traveling. What have been some of your favorite travel experiences or venues from your career so far?
So the first one, and probably the top one on my list, actually doesn't really have a lot to do with running. I went for a study abroad trip for nursing, and we went to Chile, kind of over winter break-ish, like just before the indoor season, kind of a little bit during it last year. And it was so fun. And when I first got there, it was 11 p.m. because of the time difference, but I was traveling all day and I still needed to do a long run. So I ran with one of my peers and we ran on the streets of Valparaiso, like right by the beach. And it was absolutely beautiful. The lights were like stunning. They were all like a cohesive white, but because of the way that the ocean was reflecting the lights, they looked like they were moving and blinking. So it was just kind of, I was so tired, but I remember like saying like, with these lights to chase, like, how can I like give up? Like, it's just so beautiful. And there was so much to look at. So that was probably my favorite long run, I think, of my life, honestly. And then we went to the UK with Cornell, over the summer of between my sophomore and junior year, which was a lot of fun too. And then we competed against Birmingham, Oxford, and Cambridge. And it was just a blast, kind of all of those teams coming together and just kind of being one team with Cornell, which was really unique. Cornell does this thing at HEPS where they go Sioux really loud. And like, we obviously say like Penn. So like, we like combined it and we made this Sioux Penn like chant that is still like embedded in my brain, just that memory of like saying that and cheering for them and everything. And we had a blast just touring the UK, and it was just a fantastic time. It's just fun running in different places and meeting different people. So
is that some sort of special friendship between Cornell and Penn?
Yeah, we're really close actually. No, it's well, we are, but I would say I think it's alum, for us, it's definitely alumni funded. I believe it's the same for Cornell. And basically it's just this relationship that we have with Oxford and Cambridge that they come to us every 4 years and we go to them every 4 years. And then same with Birmingham. Birmingham comes here also. So it's obviously really fun when we get to go. We go over the summer. And then when they come here, they come sometime in the middle of the year. It's like a cycle. They come at different times, but yeah.
Wow, I don't think I've heard something quite like that before.
Yeah, I think some of the other Ivy League schools do that too. It's really fun. Yeah, it's also really nice that the alumni does that for us because we don't have to invest in it. It's just kind of like a neat experience they just kind of treat us with. So,
and that's also really amazing that you got to take that opportunity to study away in the winter as well. Because
yeah.
Can you go into a little more detail about what that was like in terms of balancing? It's like right at the start of the indoor season. How did you manage that?
Well, I really had to be in close contact with my coach pretty much the whole time. I remember when I first got there, I was like, oh yeah, I'll do my workouts. It'll be no problem. And there were like, there were actually no tracks to run on, which is honestly very similar to right now, kind of navigating the no track situation. And I remember freaking out and I was like, how am I going to do this workout? Like, I can't really put on my spikes. So I think it really was about getting really creative. I think I took a Chilean CrossFit class and like with some of the people that I was there with, just to get some sort of strength training in because we didn't really have access to anything. It was just a lot of creativity. And honestly, I think I'm better for it. I think it really changed my mindset a lot coming into the indoor season. And obviously it ends up being a great indoor season at the end of the day. But I think in that brief period, I was like, you know what, at least I'm having fun. I'm being creative and I'm still getting training in no matter what it looks like. We'll smooth the rest out later. So
what year was 2019?
Yeah, that was 2019.
Okay. Wow, that is
quick turnaround.
For sure. For sure. When you look back at this COVID-19 period, 10 years from now, what is something that you want to remember from it, either like laugh about or remember discovering during this time, or be like, thank God we've moved past, hopefully have moved past that?
Yeah. I mean, for me, this situation, like, people are dying in hospitals and people are dying on the streets. Like, I hope that the world remembers that. I think that's something that's like always happened. I just think right now we're more acutely aware of it just because of the severity of the situation. So I kind of hope that that's in the back of people's minds, just in case something like this, God forbid, does happen again with respect to the pandemic, that we, you know, are able to approach it better and take it more seriously from the beginning. And I want to be able to like look back and say, you know what, I found things to do during quarantine, and I found ways to laugh with people and to still like, you know, have fun during 2020, which I honestly think, like, so far so good with that. I think, you know, all of my friends and Penn and like all of the little social groups I've been a part of, like, have done a really good job of still maintaining, you know, our friendships and like through this, and like finding ways to hang out, whether it's like Zoom parties or like, what did we do? We played like games over like Blue Jeans and stuff like that. Just like finding ways to still stay connected with people. So, yeah.
So come fall, sadly, won't be lacing up with your teammates.
Yeah.
Well, not like the tears or something, but what are you going to miss the most about running at UPenn? Like, what little moments do you want to remember?
I'll just miss the people, honestly. But then the thing is like, those people aren't going anywhere. I do feel like I've lived these 4 years to the fullest. Like, I don't really need a fifth one at Penn. I've like had my experiences. So I'm really happy with that. I'll miss, honestly, cross country, the parents, for the meets. They like put out this spread of food afterwards. I'm kind of a, like, I'm really into food. So like, especially like after racing, like probably anyone. So that's always a lot of fun, just kind of socializing with the team after and just enjoying people and the food. And running at the Wissahickon trailhead, which is, that's a bit of a drive from campus, but we go on Sundays. And then in the fall, when the leaves start to change, we like catch leaves when they fall. And it's like whoever like catches the most by the end of the season is like champion. Yeah. So just like little things like that I'll miss, because those are things you can't really recreate. But I'm glad that I had those experiences. So, yeah.
You talked a little bit about looking into running life post-college. Have you started any sort of pro search? Like, in whatever detail that you do or don't want to go into, what has that been like for you so far?
Yeah, honestly, I have I have an idea of what I want to do, but just like everybody else right now, I kind of have to wait it out and be patient. So that's kind of what I'm facing right now. I'm not gonna, you know, say anything that I'm doing or figuring out, because there's a lot of options. There's a lot of options, and I want to be smart and make good decisions. So, yeah, it's about being patient and being silent for as long as I can, I guess.
Yeah, that sounds like the hardest part.
It's kind of challenging.
Especially when everyone's asking you about.
Oh yeah, I get this question daily, and I'm getting used to just being like, which is true, honestly. I don't know exactly when my next steps will come. So, yeah.
What do you want out of your future running career?
I just kind of got a glimpse of what I want at Penn. I think I want more traveling. I'd like to improve. I'd like to toe the line at championships. I just kind of want to, you know, live race experiences and meets and adventures kind of to the fullest, and kind of like find a new a new group of people to be a part of. So we'll see.
Neat. So I saw also some media about you gearing up towards Tokyo. There was like NPR thing and some articles, but that's like the childhood dream, is even considering yourself as a prospective Olympian. What your childhood dream, and like what would 10-year-old Nia think of where you are now?
10-year-old Nia wanted to be a professional soccer player. But I hope that this is suitable to her dreams. I hope it's close enough and she'll get over it. So honestly, I honestly don't know what the future looks like, when the Olympics will happen, if they'll happen. But I know that they were a dream for a really long time, and now that they feel more like a reality, I think I look at it differently. I don't look at it as like, oh, like that's something like maybe in the future, one day it's a possibility. Now that I look at it and I think about it, I'm like, I need to put in work. Like I have stuff to do. And I need to be smart about the decisions that I'm making leading up to it. So I think with that mindset shift and that mindset change, it's kind of like the same change that I had with this year gearing up for nationals. I think the sky's the limit. We'll see.
Are you about working as a nurse in your future life?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of transitional period. Like I think inherently, no matter what I decide next year, whether that's school or running or both, it's gonna be a huge transition period. So I think in the immediate future, I don't know if it would be smart to start practicing right away, but I definitely will be practicing as a nurse and running. I just don't know what that looks like yet. So yeah.
So you said like a little bit about thinking more about the decisions you had to make and like shifting your mindset around the reality of you could be a potential Olympian. What was a race or a moment that you felt like you learned a lot from, whether that's like racing strategy or I need to change this part of my routine? Like, are there any major like racing strategy or routine changes that you've made?
I don't think there were any changes, honestly. I think, I think there was just a mindset change. I think my routine, the way that I eat, everything else is pretty stable. Training just kind of naturally progressed with the results, honestly. So I don't really think that's always been kind of equitable to how I've been racing. So there weren't really any big changes. But I will say that my goal was to, you know, I wanted to win an NCAA championship, but like my goal at the end of the day was to be a consistent runner. And I wanted to walk away from everything saying like, you know what, looking back on my career, I consistently showed up to things. And I think to be consistent in the NCAA, you can't just be stable. Like you have to improve because the NCAA evolves rapidly. Very rarely does the same runner win or do extremely well twice and post the same results. And I think even if they do, they'll tell you like, I was in way better shape the second time around than I was the first time around. So I think kind of having that in the back of my mind, I don't think there are any changes, but I think, you know, the more you get into your routine and your training and everything, it just becomes a little bit more habitual and you gain more confidence in that too. So I think there's something to be said for just, you know, sticking to what works for you, but knowing that you're on some trajectory to improving.
Mm-hmm. So my final question is, what piece of advice that you would tell to a younger version of yourself, and what is a message that you want to leave for a future version of yourself?
So for the younger version of myself, like, it's okay to want to look forward, and I think it's important that you're looking forward, but don't forget about like what's happening right now, to just enjoy the people and enjoy the experiences that you're having now, because you're going to miss them later. And then for my future self, so much of the pain that you are experiencing or have experienced are literally just your mental approach to things. So be kind to yourself, acknowledge that, and kind of, you know, push through some things because you're going to appreciate it later.
If there's any rising first years coming into college right now, what advice would you give to them?
Yeah, is to be prepared for anything, especially right now. Transitioning to college is no easy transition, no matter what the time is, especially now. So I think really talk to people and lean on your resources, talk to your teammates, talk to your coaches, get into that habit as soon as possible, because that will be extremely valuable later. And just, you know, kind of ride with the punches, because it's just going to make you stronger later when things hopefully clear up significantly.
Thank you so much for your time and energy this morning.
Like, thank you. This is so nice.
So before I finish out the recording, is there any final words or shout outs or pieces of your story that you felt like were missed that you want to say?
Not particularly. I mean, shout out to Penn Track. I miss everybody so much. It's so bad. And yeah, I just hope, Penn Track aside, that everybody out there is just making smart decisions and staying healthy and just looking after each other and then being kind to themselves at the end of the day, because that's what matters. So.